I am the one that sent my only begotten Son. My only begotten Son to hang on a cross, to purchase your salvation. But I just kept hearing the Lord say in the back there, there's nothing you can do to earn it. Stop trying. It is my grace and the blood of Jesus that covers you. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what your circumstances are. But the presence of the Lord is here this morning to wrap His arms around you, to love you. Come on, the King of Kings is here this morning to love you. There's nothing you can do to earn the love of God. It just is. It is and always will be for you. Nothing you can do can change that. Those circumstances. Come on, right now. There's something coming into this room. Come on, there's the presence of God that is going to be released. The pure love and joy of the living God. Come on, He wants to rescue you. He wants to love on you. He wants to just be there for you as a friend. Come on, now right in this moment, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Wow. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name that is above every other name. Come on, right now. Right there. Wow. Come on. The presence of God. Come on, right there. Wow. Come on, let Him wash over you right there. Wow. Yes, the love of God. For no other reason. I keep hearing. For no other reason that you're my sons and my daughters. Father, pour out your love right now. Wow. I just see like a cool breeze. Come on, today there's just a presence in this atmosphere. Where the Lord's just going to wash over you. He's going to fill you up. Whatever you need. Come on, the presence of God is here right now to fill you up. Right there. Wow. Wow. Come on. Let Him fill you up. Wow. Wow.
Or you can stand. That'd be all right. One or the other. Really caught that as far as the Prince of Peace in the house of God. Of course, in the house of God, that's where the Prince would live, right? And He lives in our hearts, our lives. Very, very good. God bless you this morning. Hope you've had a great week in Christ. And there's always a battle to be fought, but there's always a battle to be won. And that's what God has raised up in the body of Christ, winners. Amen? And so that's who you are. You're a winner. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God with our tithes, our offerings this morning. And I hope it's been a very, very prosperous last week for you. And I find out it's a time to pray. And when you pray, how many times God answers your prayer? You know, sometimes we get so busy we don't do the very things that we need to do is pray. And thank God for that. Father, I ask right now the prosperity of God would be upon these people, Lord, as they work and labor in this summertime, in this season of labor. God, that their businesses, their jobs, and other things, Lord, that they would prosper in all these areas. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring our first fruit, our tithe, to the house of the Lord. We thank you for Danny last week just explaining how important it is to bring our first fruit and what it does for us. And we know that if there's a robber, the enemy is the robber, and God is the redeemer. And so when he redeems us in every aspect, so we call back a redemption on every area, every invention, every thought that you have, and that you'll prosper in everything that you do. God bless you in your giving. Amen and amen. If you make another check, you can make it payable to Community Church. God bless you. Hallelujah. Just a very, very nice presence of the Lord in the house. You know, I was thinking of, as Adasa come and she sat there, and I was looking, and it was like, you know, she didn't care. It was just like, hey, I'm just sitting here in the presence of the Lord, you know, and you kind of just see the silhouette of her little face looking around, and it just, you know, just God. And I appreciate that so very, very much by the atmosphere the praise and worship team has created. And we appreciate you so very much again, and all of the great things that you continue to do. I know that it takes a lot of dedication, a lot of time to pull off a real praise and worship experience. God bless you. Thank you very much. All right. All right. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I think it was last week I was in the other sanctuary, children's sanctuary, and I was thinking about the potential of what's in this room. You know, as families gather, as men and women come together, there's tremendous potential in each person that God has placed in you. And of course, that's where the enemy would like to stop all potential coming out of you from God. And so that's his job. But we find out that God thinks that you're very valuable, and that you need to know your value in the realms of who God thinks about you. Because when God thinks about you, nothing else really makes too much difference. God thinks you're a great people. You're people that are life-changing people that can literally go up and in a short period of time literally change a person's life by your testimony, by what God has done in your life. I think from the very beginning of Christ, you know, you think of the first step is you're stepping into salvation and you ask him to come into your life. You know, it took 26 years in my life to do that, but right at that time, I started changing rapidly. Amen. I mean, it was a rapid change, just and pretty soon in 2-3 months, people said, who is that guy anyway? You know, who's that? You know, my old acquaintances, they said, well, Jake will be back. But Jake never come back because I was on a journey with Jesus. Amen? And I think that it's very important that we understand today that maybe it's the first step into the journey, and you might have been walking with Christ for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whatever, or 5 minutes, but it's a journey with Christ. It's a journey with God. Amen?
Amen.
And so sometimes we base our value on how someone is treating us or how you feel like they're feeling about you, and that would be your value system. I know that in our society, just in our work ethics, you're wanting to do a good job. And so in doing a good job, that brings you satisfaction on the inside because you did a good job. But you know, it's different with Christ. When you accept him, he is the good job. I mean, Christ is the good job. And each step, each day, each moment that we walk with him and consider his ways, things are changing in our lives, improving in our lives. We are being changed by the presence of an almighty God. That's our value system. We're valuable because we are being changed. You know, before Christ, you could have said, well, you were valuable then. Absolutely. You know, towards God, your value system was as great at that time as it was before you even accepted Christ. But you started discovering that your value system is because of Christ, because of God. And we have the greatest example in the Bible. They had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the epistles and everything that went with it was talking about Jesus and what Jesus could do. And the disciples, they become apostles, and they began to declare what Jesus could do. They even said, you know, these disciples are ignorant and unlearned men. You know, that's not exactly a good reputation to have somebody saying that about you, but they'd been with Jesus, and then all those miracles were following them because they had been with Jesus. And you know, Jesus didn't represent himself on the earth. He represented God. Amen? I mean, so here's God's Son representing God. And so I think in the scriptures it says, you know, sometimes as far as if we are perfect, then we're all right. Okay? If we are perfect, then we're all right. But all of us know that there's faults in our lives that takes away that perfection. If we feel like we have done a good enough job, then we're all right and we feel good about ourselves. But if things change, which they probably will, you know, you could feel very, very good about yourself a week ago, and then maybe you're feeling average now. And then maybe if a good thing happens, you feel good about yourself again. I'm important. But you know, really, when we go through these times, maybe the toughest times, that's really where we find out where we're really at. You get into those tough times, and then especially up there, impossible to do anything except trust in God. And you know, that's our first and foremost thing that we're supposed to do, is just trust in God. And so our perfection and in the thought, things are changing. I was thinking about Jesus. You know, he's our example. When he was walking a week before he was crucified or thereabouts, he was exalted, man. And he come in and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, you know, and they were shouting him down. And I mean, it had to feel good, you know. I'm being accepted. Wow, look at the people. Man, my ministry is doing so good. Take a look at what's going on. But then a week later, in maybe the same way, they were hollering, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So if you were living on the experience of someone, the acceptance of that person making you feel good, you'd feel pretty tough the week later when they were hollering, crucify him. And sometimes in that, we have to realize that God has always been in our corner. The value that makes us different is God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. When I accepted Jesus, that changed the whole thing. You know, I mean, so simple, you made one career change, you become a Christian instead of non-Christian, literally changed everything. And the more you applied it, in a year's time, you were totally changed by this person that you can't see normally. He's not just walking around, but he's changing you because you keep on accepting him and being changed into his glory. And you know what the fact is? The glory's always been there. You know, so circumstance, situations, people thinking about you, how they think, maybe they don't think, doesn't make any difference. You're accepted in the beloved. There's some scriptures that I think, you know, that just are so powerful. People sing about them, you know, you are the apple, you are the apple, you are the apple of God's eye. I'm going, wow. You know, and I think maybe in the journey, the greatest thing I've probably struggled with is I always go back to job performance to try to make me feel better. And you know, it's kind of like you take back the reins, and it never works in a good way. When you just step back in and say, I am the apple of God's eye. And you start hearing that voice again, you start feeling like, wow, this is where I want to live. It's kind of like when we were singing this morning, wow, this is where I want to live. And that's really, the invitation is always there. That's where we should live. You know, just being the apple of God's eye. You know, I don't know who it was, but they sang, I've got the blood of an innocent man all over me. You know, so in that thought, the blood has it covered. We're not perfect people. We're going to make mistakes. Things could change even with you not making a mistake. Jesus was not a mistake. The week later, how it changed. But he knew in his heart who he was. I am the Son of God. You know, and that's what they were wanting him to say so they could trip him up, so they could blaspheming or use him that you're blaspheming God because you said you're the Son of God. You know? But he was the Son of God, you know, don't lie. And so the struggle was with Jesus, I just have to be who I am. Jesus was the Son of God. You know, and the disciples, they'd come, and the many things they asked, it was like, it wasn't an answer back that Jesus would answer back and say, wow, this is who I am. And they'd say, well, you know, I'd like to be sitting by you. You know, when we go into the kingdom, could I sit next to you? And different things like that. There was always some question like, where are you coming up with this stuff? But Jesus was the God-man on the earth. And I really believe that that's who we need to always see ourselves. We are the God-man, God-woman on the earth that we're living in. And that could be just in your family situation. You are the God-man, God-woman in this family situation. And when you do that, it seems like you get ownership because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns us, and we've been created in his image so that we could be like him. I was thinking in 1 John 4:17, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, the day of judgment, I think it's a good day to have boldness, very much so. But then it goes on, because as he is, so are we in this world. Okay? So, who are we like? As he is, so are we in this world. Should we say it together? As he is, so are we in this world. Not in the world to come, but in this world. As he is, so are we. No, as he is, so are you, your family. You know, that's who you are. And your identity is right there. I mean, you're looking for identity. I'm Christ on the earth. And that could get you killed too. You know, or at least criticized quite a bit by you even saying something so crazy. Well, the Bible is really telling us, as he is, so are we. Wow, And it takes, I don't know how many pounds of weight off of you, but as he is, so are we. Hallelujah. But it was kind of interesting in as he is, and it was talking about in this scripture, it says, having boldness in the day of judgment. Is the day of judgment here today, you think? Do you think that we need to have boldness in this day that we're living in? I believe so. I mean, you just have to turn the news on for a very short time. I need to have boldness in the day of judgment. I need to have boldness in the days that God has set and actually said, if you watch the days, the signs, and the things that are going on, I need boldness in the day of judgment. So where does boldness come from? As he is, so are we in this world. It takes the pressure off of us completely, and then you can concentrate on who you really are. You are a son, you are a daughter of the Most High God. That's who you are. How good is that? I mean, that could start a dance up for a half hour, you know? Wow! That's who I am. As he is, so are we in this world. Praise the Lord. And so I was thinking about this with Jesus as he had said, because he was the Son of God, he had such an easy walk, right? Yeah, it wasn't so easy. In Matthew 24, or I should say 4, and verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, they used to 40 nights, so it wasn't eating at night, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Okay? So what did Jesus do there? Yeah, I mean, he could have said, oh, no problem. I'll turn this stuff into bread. But he wasn't following in the steps of what the devil was saying. And you know, the world system that we live in is always trying to get you to prove something about, you know, why don't you turn these rocks into bread? If you are. Well, the question wasn't Jesus, I mean, the question wasn't that he wasn't the Son of God. The devil was trying to say, if you do that, then you're the Son of God. His identity was, I am the Son of God. I don't have to turn in a bunch of rocks into bread. Right. But he did make the mention. He said, the verse said that, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So it pushed it right back on God. You know, Jesus, and he just walked away. Hey, God, you got to wait. You know, that's not a cop-out. That's the way it should work. Hey, God, you got it, man. I love it. Wow. Job performance is something that you're wanting to do because we do it all the time in our job situations and everything, our evaluations of in our performance. But God's saying, that's who you are already. And I was reading through this, you know, Jesus didn't have no problem. He said, well, that's mine anyway. Devil was just repeating something that was already Jesus' anyway. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil, taking him up into the holy city and setting him on a pedestal of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, which he was the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels a charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy feet against the stone.
Okay, wow. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. What did Jesus say there? He just transferred back over, well, that's a God deal. You know, the devil going, number one, number two, remember three strikes, you're out. And so your possession and proving yourself, it was prove yourself that you're the Son of God, so you turn bread into, everyone's looking to someone to prove himself or herself. Hey, you don't have to prove anything. I'm a child of the Most High God. And you know, in the first year of Christianity was probably the biggest change in people's lives. They say second generational Christianity is very difficult in it because maybe you didn't have that initial shot right there, and you know, you'd been getting slapped around by the world, as he is, so are we in this world, present world. But if you didn't have him, you were getting slapped around. And the world was telling you, the devil was telling you, so you were hearing all of this stuff of your identification, which you were trying to do as good a job as you possibly could. But the prophetic word today was, give it up. Give it up. Jesus is enough. You know, what he does is enough. In the United States, we should know that he's enough because we have so much abundance of the goodness of God and the greatness of who he is. So, you know, to just take a deep breath. I remember coming up here in Thief River Falls the first year and a half, you know, you'd have a ministerial meeting, and I didn't feel very ministerial. And I didn't really want to go to those meetings because I was intimidated. You know, what do I have to offer them? And the fact is, the change that happened in my life 4 years before that is what I had, and it was enough. But I didn't use it, and I think throughout my Christian experience, many times I'm trying to do something to get approval of God, approval of man, approval of anything that you're doing, because sometimes it's job performance. You're wanting to do a good job. This is no excuse for you not doing a good job, but it is that if you put it in God's hands, you'll do a good job. I found it in business and everything like that. You put it in God's hands, things start happening, man. Amen? I don't like to have too many jobs. People say, how many jobs you got? I don't like that type of pressure. So I like to catch up, stop, say, okay, God, I can do something now. You know, too many jobs gets me very nervous. Like, it brings me to my knees, you know, like this here. This week I was like this. I said, just give me 5 minutes, I'll be all right. You know, it won't take. And so Dave and myself were working together, and Dave was looking at me as he said, well, I hope the guy's all right. So then I was really, when you really are winded out, I go like this. So now, what do you think David's thinking? I wonder if the guy's going to make it, man. I hope he makes it. But it just seemed like that was the better way of getting air in. It was hot and we were inside a place and stuff. And you know, after about 5 minutes, I don't like heat and heat doesn't like me. But I got my air and I went back in for the fight and we got it poured and I went home and I started a new day. I took a shower real fast, drove into town, dropped David off, went home, took a shower, went back, and I had all sorts of air. You know? I said, God, I need air, man, and I need it now. And so in thinking of that, we do that in a natural sense. You know, I couldn't do anything else except go to my knee, and then to my knees, and then almost laying flat-faced in the grass. But I got through. But we have to do that to God. Kneel to the Lord in what he has for us. Because he has so much for us. He's so good. He's a great God for all of us. So in reading this, we go on and it says again, the devil taking him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Wow. And they are glorious. I just love to go and look at mountains, you know, when they got snow on the mountains and then it's green. It's beautiful. It's glorious. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus, he knew that that was his anyway. The devil is trying to use the very property that we own and we possess to get us all riled up. I mean, Jesus knew he owned it. His Father was God. Wow, our Father's God. As he is, so are we. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we. Don't sweat it. Well, what if it gets to, you know what? Jesus never went through anything. I mean, you remember, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He was going through the judgment time. But Jesus said, okay. It was very difficult on him. It was a battle in the soul and the spirit. You know, his soul wanted to say, if there was any way of being able to escape this, please find that way. It had to have been, I cannot explain what Jesus was going through at that time. But you know, what I find out in the world that we live in, usually we have the last word, and that's how we think on a last word. Like, considering, suicide. Wow. That's the last word. But where did that come from? That come way up here. There's probably 150, 200 different things that happened to that person to bring him or her to that state. And it's as easy as just saying, hey, you know what? That one word does not do the whole justice. Because it started back over here, and there's 100 different trails along there that resulted in that. Amen? And they kept on carrying it, and they kept on carrying it, and they kept on carrying it. Hey, you know what? Jesus can carry it. God's big enough, he's able to carry it. And so Jesus just said again, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shall thou serve. Hallelujah. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. When I read that about the angels ministering, the devil was there giving him a hard time for a good length of time, but then angels come and ministered. And so I was wondering about the ministry of angels again and what that looks like. You know, you went through a tough time, but then angels came and ministered to him. There's people right now in our congregation that is going through a tough time, fighting for their lives. I go sometimes, I look at them, and it's the judgment time for myself. How am I reacting? What can I do? Because there's always that place, I have to do something, but you say, I can't do nothing. And that's true. But it's that place of saying, I'm going to trust God. I'm trusting God on this one and all the rest of them. And you know, we get in that position. That's a great identity for you, for your family, and for anyone else in this world that we're living in today. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to answer the world's questions, the devil's questions, with the Word of God. Amen. I am the apple of God's eye. The blood of Jesus has covered me, and it's all over me. And if it say, well, did it cover your knee? No, it's covered. When he did it, it was finished. Amen. And from the praise and worship to Jeff and myself didn't call each other up and saying, this is what I was going to preach on, and so would you prophesy on what I was going to preach on? We didn't do that. But he hit it right in the head, you know. You're valuable, so valuable in the shape of when you go there and answer everything by the word of God. Amen?
Hallelujah.
And if you hang on to five things, are those five things worth you losing? The greatest thing you have is the peace of God and all that God has for you? No. Five things, one thing. What's the one thing that's tripping you up? Well, I'm going to change that one thing so I can get all the things that God has for me. Amen? All right. You are the apple of God's eye. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. The work of the cross is finished. You know, let's enjoy it. Amen? You know, I we can get into so many different discussions, couldn't we? I mean, right afterwards, we could talk about the political scenes. We could see the flood down in Mississippi right now with the rain and this and that. But you know what? Another thing we could do is we could say, well, you know what, God? I know it's in your control. We ask that front move out, move quickly, do whatever needs to be done, and you'd be surprised. There's not that many people hollering to heaven saying, move the front. Speed up the storm. We kind of wring our hands. Did you see what was on the news? Hey, speed up the front. God, angels, whatever, whoever you send, speed up that front so it goes through. Cancer victims. You know, it's the greatest thing that we have. Don't sweat it. You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I remember Thelma Hines, she had cancer in her face, and they cut off part of her jaw, and so she had a big hole in her face, you know, skin. And she said, he may attack my body, but if I'm absent from the body, I'm going to be in presence with the Lord. And then she'd sing, well, yeah, bigger than any mountain, but was feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, laying right down by his side. I'm feeling at home. I'm feeling at home. And she went home to be with the Lord, and I'm sure she's doing just fine right now. No problems. Hallelujah. Would you please stand? Just for your comfort. And if it's not comfortable to stand, sit. All right. Well, I hope this was inspirational in some sense. Who are you? I'm the apple of his eye. Yeah. Yeah. And as he is, as he is. Let's enjoy it, Jeff, as he is. Jen, let's enjoy it as he is. All of us, let's enjoy it as he is. So are we. We represent God Almighty on the earth. As you are, Jesus, so are we. From the very first day, I believe, Lord, as he is, so am I. And I started changing when I applied the principle of I'm going to trust in God. Today, Lord, we come before you and we trust in you. And we're going to go through the days of judgment like Jesus went through. And things change from Hosanna to crucify him. Things change. But the one thing that does not change is God, his love towards you, and the value that you are to him. Never changes. You are valuable to God. And however you feel at the moment, it makes no difference. God sees your value. And then all you have to do is say, I'm valuable. Let's say it together. I'm valuable to God. Wow. Hallelujah. And the rest of it, I believe that will be taken care of by the Holy Spirit, because that's why the Holy Spirit was sent, Bethany. Right now, as He is, so are we in this present world. And the attacks that are on your body, that's not who He is. So don't become something that He isn't. Amen? And I declare and decree today that you are healed, you're whole, in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that does for me? It just releases me, because I feel the power and the goodness of God just saying, no problem. Yes, I am. He is. So Father, we release your presence. Let's just raise our hands to Him, just receiving this. And that's, just saying, hey, you know, I surrender to you, God. And as you show us, Lord, how we walk through this life and just laying all this other stuff down, how quickly we grow in your grace, how good it feels, Lord, that you're with us, and we're worthy. We are worthy. We are worthy because you were worthy, and you just kept on taking Jesus. You didn't take any of it to yourself. You just said, hey, that's up to the Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do, and that's what He told me to do. And that it frustrated the devil. He laughed. Hallelujah. It must have got heaven all excited, because the angels come and ministered to him. Praise God. So Father, we ask, Lord, that we could live in this, showing us how valuable we are by what's on the inside of us. Our value system is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we receive now Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. From now until eternity takes over this whole thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you this next week. Well, we got something going today? All right.
Hallelujah. Pastor Jake is going to be flying to Nicaragua on Tuesday. He's going to be there until the following Wednesday. So, congregation, will you stretch your hands?
I'll receive it.
This way.
Hallelujah.
Elders, will you come and lay hands on?
Praise God.
Father God, right now we thank you for who you are, that you are the great and awesome and mighty God. Father, we thank you that you have everything under control. Father, that there is no weapon formed against us that will prosper. And Father, we send Pastor Jake out now from this house, Father. May he accomplish what you want done in Nicaragua this coming week, Father. Father, give him the words, your very words, Father. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we would ask that you would put your angels around him. Your angels around him to protect him. Engulf him, Father. And Father, most of all, we ask that you would immerse him in your spirit. That you would immerse him in your spirit, so that he can only say the things that you tell him to. We give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you so very much.
Tom has a few words that he needs to.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, I was just thinking about prayer, and when I went through some tough times when we buried our one son, I remember Wade Grinland called me and he goes, Tom, I just don't know what to say. And I will never forget it to this day. Wade didn't feel like he was qualified to pray for me because I'm a pastor. But Wade called me up and he just prayed, and he was obedient. And to this day, I will never forget that, because when he prayed, the love of God was poured out. And so many times the enemy wants to lie to you because of something you've been through, that you've been done. You know what? I didn't feel like much when I was going through that. Actually, I felt like, God, do you even want me? And I don't know why all that stuff comes from, is what Jake was sharing. He brings you to a place where it immobilizes you. And I remember speaking to the Lord. I said, God, do you even want this? And when I said this, I meant my life, because my life just felt like a mess. And the Lord began to minister to my heart, and he uses people just like us. At the lowest place, God says, that stuff doesn't define you, and I love you, and I'm going to use you. And that just blew me away, that even in my mess, even in my, that there he was in the middle of it with me the whole time. And that's the truth about God. That's just the truth about God. So whether you don't feel worthy, or whether you feel, you know, that I'm not in the right place yet to let God to use me, that's such a lie from the enemy. He wants to rob your moment. He wants to rob your freedom. Your freedom is right now. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. It doesn't really matter what you've done. The cross is so beautiful. So I want to just thank, I just encourage us all. You know, we got moments right now, as Jake was saying, you are the God man. You are the God man and you are the God woman. And this week we got a great opportunity to become a God man and a God woman. We have an opportunity to team up with churches in the community to go out and walk and just say, hey, could I pray for you? You know, you could be that Wade Grinland just saying, hey, I don't know if I feel too worthy to do this, but the fact of the matter is I know God wants me to do something here. And he'd use those that step out in faith. And I just will never forget that. And I always time I see Wade, I say, thank you for praying for me for that day. You don't know what moment it's going to be for somebody's life. But God, if you want to use this, you can use this. Because I just feel your love. That's why there's so much in this room right now. It's just like, God, okay, whatever happened in the past, whatever it is, it's over. God, you want to use this? You can use this. You can have this. So, Father, we thank you. There's a sign-up sheet. We're going to send a link to everybody to sign up for the parade. If you want to march in the parade with the shirt, you're free to do so. It's going to be 7 o'clock Wednesday night. I got t-shirts in the back. Also, Community Church is going to be leading from 12 to 6 at the tent. The tent is right at the Huck. We're going to have leaders there, but you can sign up at any time on the website. So, let me make sure that link, but we'll send that link. And even if you don't sign up, we can run and get a shirt. We're going to have extra shirts right there at the fair if you're not sure. But it starts at 7 o'clock, so be there a little before 7 o'clock. And be over there by the Ralph. That's where it starts. And then we meet us there, and we'll just march all together in the parade. So it's going to be fun. So good word. Hallelujah.
Bring up this tent.
Okay, so we were going to put the tent up Wednesday morning, but I asked... if we could do it Tuesday night, because Wednesday morning is kind of tough, so we actually can put the tent up Tuesday night. So I would like to put it up like at 6 o'clock we get there, and then we get that all set up before the busyness of Wednesday morning.
Yeah,
so
that's our part.
That is our part, yes.
Yeah, that's our part. So Tom, so if you guys could volunteer for that, it only takes about 2 hours if you got 5 people, so okay. That'll be good. And I'll have the tent on a trailer, so you can just hook on and go for it. Anyone that's needing prayer after the service here, that's what we're all about. Please come on up, and maybe sometimes you get in that place that you can't get out of it. That's where we want to pray, and you can get out of areas like that just in how you've been feeling about yourself and maybe others. God bless you. May you have a wonderful, wonderful week in God. If you get a chance to pray, I'll try to put something on Facebook. I'll have Oscar. He's always monkeying around with it, so you probably see us from Nicaragua. So God bless you.
Hallelujah. We have one more thing. Jeff was talking to me about Ed and Lynn. Lynn has a very contagious skin cancer. Well, not contagious. Jeffrey, come here. I that's not the right word.
Hallelujah. So what it is
she has some basic needs that, like, with this type of skin cancer, there's certain lotions she needs and it's not covered. And Ed can't leave her. Literally, she's home. I can't even go into all the details because I'll lose it, because she's with the other type, she's, you know, looks like she's 110. And so anyway, she has some basic needs. So I was just going to put it before the church. If you want to sew into that, she just needs certain lotions that she needs every single day. And she goes through an entire bottle every day because they have to put it on her every so, because otherwise she's like got third degree burns all over her body. And so it's just so painful. And if you don't put that on, that she peels constantly, and then the itching, and then it just, and so, you know, whatever anybody could do. The two bottles is $15. So it's not, you know, it's not, but that's every day. So Ed just, you know, he's like, we just have no money, you know, because it can't work. But whatever you feel led by the Lord, only give if you feel led by the Lord. Yeah, I'll just leave a basketball out there if you feel led. And then I will take care of it, make it out to community church. Is that all right? Make it out to community church so then you know where it's going. And then I will personally purchase the stuff for them and continue to pray for them. Because
she needs a miracle.
Yeah, she needs a miracle. She's not... she's probably not going to... She needs Jesus. Yes.
She's been in my heart all week, Jeff. Jeff, you're going to stand. You're going to lay hands on her. We're going to stand. Jeff is going to go through you. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker, promise keeper. Lord God, you bring light in the darkness. That is who you are, Father God. And we identify with an almighty God, Lord, as your children, Lord God. Father God, you have called us to release and healing upon this land. Father God, I declare in the name of Jesus, Father God, for children to rise up, and we declare healing on this land in Lynn's body right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We stand in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father God, we declare, Lord God, the all authority and power in heaven and earth that belongs to you, Father God. And in your mighty name, we release, Lord God, all the authority right now in Jesus' name to defeat every evil cell of cancer, Father God. The curse is broken in Jesus' name. We loose the angels of God to minister, hallelujah, to come in and combat every dark force right now in that place, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, healing power of God would go. Minister love. Your spirit of God is loose right now. Signs and wonders. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.